You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Four.
Welcome in to the gym class here at KGYM. 5 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on this Tuesday, the 23rd of February. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. A lot to get to on the program. Of course, we will talk about the breaking news in the world of sports. Tiger Woods involved in a car accident earlier on today, in surgery right now. Sounds like it's non-life-threatening injuries, but we will certainly keep you updated on that particular story that has certainly broken over the last couple of hours or so. Wyatt Schultz will join us, and we will review the state wrestling championships that took place in Des Moines over the weekend. Plenty of storylines to talk about, a lot of very good stories as far as Eastern Iowa is concerned. The Iowa women in action earlier on today as Iowa and Maryland harken back to the days of the ABA today. So we will kick that around on the program a little bit. We've got college basketball to talk about, high school basketball coming up tonight as well for you around the state of Iowa, boys and girls. We got state bowling going on today as well. A whole bunch of things to talk about, including a new nickname that we will need to learn as far as one of our metro high schools is concerned. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. As Scott Unash with you, buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his very warm back porch on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids today on a 49. I'm not sure we got to 50, but we got to 49 today that I saw as far as the thermometer is concerned. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. And that's a wonderful sight, that's for sure. I know Central Iowa got to 50 or above, and all that means is the thaw is on, and hopefully it'll continue. So, yeah, good afternoon.
Indeed. And, of course, the world reacting right now to what is happening as far as the news coming out of Los Angeles about the car accident, the one car accident involving Tiger Woods, and right now, according to many reports, Tiger in surgery at UCLA Medical Center, and they are reporting non-life-threatening injuries, also reporting that Tiger had to be extricated through the window from his vehicle. Did I say that right, Buttons? Thank you. Buttons is our guy as far as that nomenclature is concerned. And as we mentioned, non-life-threatening injuries right now, but certainly some substantial injuries to lower extremities as far as Tiger is concerned. And this reportedly happened around 7 a.m. Pacific time, which would make it 9 a.m. Iowa time. And, of course, was released about an hour and a half ago. But everyone kind of waiting for some more news as far as the legendary golfer is concerned, Mark.
Yeah, a little more than 6 hours ago, this accident happened, a single vehicle crash. Information that I've gleaned from multiple reports is that Tiger's vehicle may have hit something, causing it to cross a median in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. And it traveled some 400 feet, rolling over into an area that's kind of washed out, brush, trees, and whatnot. Earlier reported the jaws of life were used. That was has since been disproven by the L.A. County Sheriff's Office. But he, as you mentioned, he was extricated. Unsure, a lot of unanswered questions. And not sure where he was going, not uncommon at all for Tiger Woods to be up and around at 7 in the morning. In fact, he'd probably already been up 3 or 4 hours. But the conditions were clear in that part of the country this morning. So nothing like fog or anything like that could have contributed. But he was, according to the sheriff's department, his vehicle was on a winding road, and he was going down a hill. So speed may or may not have been a factor. But a lot of unsubstantiated reports out there, and no other injuries related to the crash to anyone. Obviously a developing story.
Yeah. And I know you're keeping one eye and ear on that. Buttons is also keeping one eye and ear on everything going on surrounding Tiger. As right now, as you mentioned, the best news of all, non-life-threatening injuries, the way it appears. And certainly we, Tiger, of course, had a long, very, very arduous weekend running the Genesis, helping to run that with his foundation. And if you saw him on Sunday, as far as the interview with Jim Nantz on television, Tiger looked tired to me. And like you said, why wouldn't he? It was Sunday of a week-long event, even without fans, as far as his tournament is concerned with the Genesis. But all the best to Tiger out there, and hopefully he can come out of this okay. And not even talking about golf for a while. I mean, I think now golf was a little bit fuzzy anyway as far as his return this year from his fifth back surgery was concerned. There are a lot more other things important, obviously, than the golf right now as far as Tiger is concerned, just making sure he's okay and getting through this.
We do know he was on the golf course yesterday playing with several celebrities, including David Spade, who posted a picture of the two on his Twitter account. And listen, love him or not, Tiger has been through a lot in his life. Some of it self-inflicted, some of it not. The various surgeries on his body. He's just coming off a fifth back surgery, and but he was out there playing. And this is, I'd have to revisit it, but I've read many times about the 1952, I think, crash of Ben Hogan, who was in a vehicle with his wife traveling back to his home state of Texas and was involved in a crash, had multiple broken bones, and miraculously recovered and came back and won a major less than a year after the crash. Now, whether Tiger can do something like that remains to be seen, but this is a tough guy who's been through a lot. And I would echo your sentiments that, you know, he's not one of my favorites, but you would not want this to happen to your worst enemy.
No. Definitely not. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment again on Tiger, and we'll keep you updated on any breaking news as far as his condition or just news in general as far as getting out of surgery, whatnot, whatever the case may be, as we keep one eye on that. And, of course, Tiger, well, not on the golf course, as I mentioned, was he was at Riviera over the weekend. And, yeah, he was there with he didn't play yesterday with David Spade and some others. I mean, he was there. He hit a few balls, did a few things, and participated. But it was not Tiger out there, you know, grinding through 18 holes with David Spade and other people like that.
No, I didn't mean to paint that picture. You're quite right about that. But he was back hitting a ball or two. And maybe that's where he was headed this morning, to do more of the same. We just don't know. Eventually, he was going to head back to Florida to his residence. Maybe he was, by the way, this vehicle was a loaner from the Genesis Foundation. I'm sure we'll find out eventually where he was headed and whatnot, but right now it's kind of immaterial.
Yeah, very much so. 319-366-1600. Tonight we've got high school girls basketball 5A regional finals set to go for you at 6:45 this evening. The Winner will go on to Des Moines in the state tournament coming up next week. 5A regional finals tonight on 107.5 FM, the Jim OT stream, as well as KGYM radio app on the Jim OT stream. It will be 5A number 9, West Des Moines Dowling at number 8, Cedar Rapids, Washington. Myself, Steve Dozer, will be over there for that one. 106.3 FM coming up tonight. It'll be number 5 rated Iowa City West taking on top 15 rated Davenport North down at West High tonight. Again, those both get underway at 6:45. We got 4A regional final basketball as well for the girls tonight. They'll set their field for the state tournament. Also, for the boys, they get back into it tonight with classes 1A and 2A getting on with their, I believe, district finals around the state of Iowa coming up tonight. And that will move those teams to Saturday's sub-state final and one game away from punching a ticket to the state tournament. So we've got that coming your way tonight for you. Iowa State basketball tonight as well at 6 o'clock. Cyclones with the daunting task to welcome back the Baylor Bears to the basketball court, as Baylor coming off their long, long COVID layoff, about 3 weeks or more. And that'll be a 6 o'clock pregame tonight, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM for you, just past 7 o'clock. No television for that one. It's just on a ESPN Plus stream. So if you want Iowa State and Baylor, 1600 AM or 102.3 FM is the place to hunker down and listen to that one. Make it a night of basketball tonight on a beautiful day around Eastern Iowa, whether it be college or high school, or go back and forth with all of the games coming up tonight. We invite you to do so here on KGYM. And we'll see what the layoff did not hurt Michigan, Mark. We'll see what it does to the Baylor Bears.
Baylor favored by 23.5 points if you're into that sort of thing. We've found a lot of teams that didn't really skip much of a beat after being laid up for a while. We'll see what Baylor offers tonight. And your game tonight, I'm really interested in Washington. The Warriors haven't been to the state tournament in 8 years. And there was a period of time recently where, you know, I really struggled to win games. But now with Hannah Stolke and Midvalsky and others, it's in a position to return to Wells Fargo, and that'd be a nice story.
It would be. They'll have to get their usual games from Midvalsky and Stolke, no doubt about that. And I think the periphery is going to have to pick it up tonight as well for the Warriors. And Dowling, 6 losses, but all 2 teams in the top 5 in the CIML. So they play a very, very daunting schedule, as does Washington. And we'll see how it plays out. Speaking of Hannah Stolke, who, of course, is a commit to Lisa Bluter and the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Iowa women already in action earlier on today. They had a 12 noon tip-off at the Xfinity Center in College Park against our friend Brenda Fries, the former Washington Warrior. This goes. This is just going, you know, full circle here, Mark, as we Maryland number 8 rated taking on the Hawkeyes today, and lo and behold, an ABA game broke out.
Very much so. Maryland wins it 111-93, and Maryland scored 41 points in the first 10 minutes. 41 in the first quarter. It led 41-21 at that time. 68-51 at the half. After that first quarter, points-wise anyway, Iowa played Maryland even. But it was that first quarter that was truly damaging for Lisa Bluter's team. Caitlin Clark added again. She had 8 threes in the first half en route to 29 points. She had 34 total. But Maryland matched her in several respects. And you knew it was going to be tough against the number 8 team in the country, but man, oh, man, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is. Can we just buttons? Can we give Caitlin Clark the Caitlin Clark Award for next week? Are we good with that? Yes, he says yes. That'll be number 12. That's an even dozen next week for her after winning her 11th this week. Caitlin Clark at 34. Get some of the shooting percentages here in this game. Highest scoring matchup in the series history. It hasn't been going on a long time, but 32 made threes between the two squads today. Iowa shot 52% from threes. You told Lisa Bluter this morning when she woke up, you're going to hit 17 threes today. What do you think her reaction would have been?
A big smile.
Oh, yeah. Iowa was 17 of 33 from three-point range. That's the good news. The bad news is Maryland was 15 of 22 for 68% today. 8 of 9 in the first quarter for the Terps. That's really good. Transition issues today and open threes, especially in the first quarter, is the quote from Lisa Bluter today.
Yeah, Maryland very talented, and this is a young Iowa team that has a lot of capability, but just could not match up with the Maryland women today. And Brenda Fries, as you mentioned, just recently notched her 500th career coaching victory and now adding to it. So, and Iowa gets right back into action on Thursday. It's a quick turnaround. I believe it's a home game against Michigan. So Iowa right along that nine seed line in the women's bracketology right now.
And that's a bad spot to be in women's bracketology because you have a very tough first round game and then you know what's coming in the second game.
That's a
number one. And that usually means, let's see, a South Carolina, a UConn, a Baylor, or somebody of that ilk is around the corner. And that's you want to get off that 8-9 line. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Yes, David and Hudson, we are saying the defense was stellar today, actually for both teams. One of those days, hey, biscuit goes in the basket. And Iowa and Maryland combining for 200-plus points today. Speaking of basketball, the Iowa men next in action, of course, against Michigan, the big one on Thursday night. Fran McCaffrey meeting the media earlier on today. And by the way, coaches' cuts with some cuts from Fran McCaffrey will come up later on during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. They'll check in with the coaches' weekly news conference today. Coaches' cuts is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions online at ncsei.com. That is Network Computer Solutions at ncsei.com. That'll be coming up a little bit later on today. And some of the things that Fran McCaffrey had to say, he was talking about Joe Wieskamp being named to the top five list for the Jerry West Award. And he is assuming that Luka will be in the top five for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award, which I think is about as safe as saying Caitlin Clark is going to win her 12th Big Ten Freshman of the Week Award next week. Hunter Dickinson could be the top freshman in the country right now. And Fran also talked about the improvement in Iowa's transition defense and rebounding today.
Yeah, Luka Garza took the microphone as well. Said he's known Dickinson for since they were little. Of course, they both were, you know, out in the D.C. area.
Played at DeMatha. Dickinson did the fabled program.
Dickinson, younger than Garza, obviously. And Jordan Bohannon commenting that if Iowa beats Ohio State and Michigan, they should be a lock for a number one seed. How about that?
Well, not the most controversial thing Jordan's ever said.
Or will it be?
No, certainly not, as far as the case is concerned. And, can you argue with him, though?
Well, we'll have to see what happens with other teams. I think Iowa would have a very good case. But even at that rate, Iowa is not going to win the Big Ten regular season championship. Barring some unforeseen circumstances. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
319-366-1600. Also, college basketball news. The Big 12 has just come out. Thank you, Buttons. He has made me aware of this with some schedule adjustments, and Iowa State's going to – they kept the final week between the regular season and the start of the Big 12 men's basketball tournament open for makeups. And it is going to be utilized in a big way, Mark, especially by Steve Prohm and the Iowa State Cyclones. They are going to have three games in 6 days. Three games in 5 days. I beg your pardon. Tuesday, March 2nd, Iowa State is going to host Texas. And that will be in Ames. Thursday, March the 4th, Iowa State will go to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech. Saturday, March 6th, Iowa State will take on Kansas State down in Manhattan. So a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for Iowa State coming up on what was going to be their off week. Not off anymore.
Well, this is what we do in 2020, 2021, right?
Yep.
And they'll adapt to it. Iowa women going through a stretch right now, they're very similar. I mean, these kids, you know, on a AAU weekend, they played three or four games in a day. Three games in 5 days. I mean, that's not at the Big 12 level or Big 10 level, grant you. But I don't know that it'll be a huge deal. Do you?
No, it will not. And quite frankly, Iowa State, Kansas State could be for that 9-10 seed, really, as far as the Big 12 tournament is concerned. I guess we'll wait and see how it all plays out. But I know one thing. Steve Prohm does not want to see that number, that zero in the left-hand column in the Big 12 standings any longer than is necessary. And yes, tonight will be tough, no doubt about that. But there are a couple of opportunities, including that one against Kansas State coming in the early part of March.
Well, the main thing Steve Prohm wants to see is this season over.
True. He's not going to say that publicly, but I think you're right there. 319-366-1600. Wyatt Schultz is going to join us coming up in just a moment or two. We've got, before we get to Wyatt, again, we're keeping one eye on the Tiger Woods news. If anything breaks, we will be sure to let you know. But as far as Tiger is concerned, he is in surgery right now. At last report, non-life-threatening injuries from the rollover accident that occurred in Southern California earlier on today. We'll get to college basketball in the Big Ten and the latest in bracketology coming up in just a little bit. One thing to let you know about, though, here, Mark, we've got we got to get the dollar jar out again starting next fall for John Hegarty and myself for Marion football. As you know, the Marion High School, Marion Independent School District, has changed their nickname. They had it down to three, and they announced the winner last night, I believe, and a lot of the news coming out today. Ladies and gentlemen, it will now be the Marion Mavericks in the WAMAC Conference, starting up with the fall sports of 2021-2022.
I think it's a good name.
I do, too.
I really do. I like it. I might have to contribute to that jar as well. I mean, Marion has been around for a long, long time, and it was known as the Indians, and it might be a tough habit to break. But yeah, among the three finalists, that was my favorite, and it'll grow on us, and hopefully we won't make too many mistakes in that regard.
Yeah, and forgive us, please, if we do. Please forgive us. Yes, the Marion Mavericks. And we have a new football coach at Marion as well. And it was they went internally as far as the search is concerned. And if I can find this here, I will get it for you here coming up. But the Indians have gone with assistant coach Michael Joyner is going to be the new football coach for the Marion Indians. He was the offensive line coach for Marion under former coach Tim Lovell, who moved up 10th Street to Lynn Mar. So it will be a familiar face taking over the reins as far as Marion football is concerned.
By the way, we have a grace period because the switchover to the nickname does not take effect until the end of July or August 1, however you want to look at it. So in the meantime, Marion, Mike Manderscheid and others will be busy. New uniforms, all those, a lot of the uniforms just say Marion on them.
Correct.
Now the football helmets, I think, had an Indian emblem or of some kind. I don't recall fully there, but we've got a little bit of grace period, a little time to practice on the nickname, and we'll get it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, 1156 before we get to a break here. The selection committee, talking about basketball, is always talking about a team's body of work, and they can't ignore the fact that Iowa leads the nation and wins over rated teams. I agree with Jordan. If we don't lose any of the following three games after this week, well, it'd be two. Well, depending on if there is a makeup before the Big Ten tournament, we shall see. No, 63-28. We should not have gone with that nickname. Not even going to say it. Not even going to say it. All right, 331. We're going to take a break, come back. Wyatt Schultz joins us one more time. We will review the state wrestling tournament and talk with Wyatt when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
Hockey and basketball fans love scoring in nets, but what else do they have in common? A chance for an easy 100 from BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbooks and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Clippers versus Wizards. And if either team hits a three, you win. Simply sign up using bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Maybe you have more in common with table tennis fans. No matter your sport, BetMGM is where the stakes are always raised. Enjoy parlay selection features to build the parlay of your dreams, boosted odds specials for major payouts, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Clippers or Wizards to hit a three. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Give your home a new look with Tarkett laminate flooring. Tarkett combines design and performance to provide you the looks you love. Durable and water-resistant Aquafloor Plus laminate is $199 a square foot after 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through February 27th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We are back, 334. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. And we've got high school basketball. Girls Regional Final 5A basketball coming up tonight at 645, 107.5 FM. It'll be Wash hosting Dowling, and it'll be West High hosting Davenport North on 106.3 FM. Those games getting underway at 645. Iowa State and Baylor in the Big 12. With the pregame getting underway at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk one more time this year on Tuesdays, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee, a very, very big wrestling supporter, collegiate and high school wrestling Kurt, we thank you very much for all your help this year. We do appreciate it. And one more time, Wyatt Schultz from The Predicament joining us here to take a look back at all the activities at Wells Fargo Arena last week at the state championships. And Wyatt, another one under the belt. They go by quickly once you get inside the doors of Wells Fargo, don't they?
Yes, they do. Well, yeah, kind of. I was there for since Tuesday until Saturday night, late Saturday night. I think I got back to the hotel about midnight. So it was a long but actually a pretty gratifying week in the well. It turned out to be maybe a lot better than I anticipated. And by that, I mean the fans and the layout, the new little bit of different layout on the floor and the accommodations down on the floor. So it actually turned out to be a pretty great week.
Yeah. Before we get to too many things, just kind of let us in behind the scenes on how things went as far as the, you know, the crowd, just everything as far as the background for a very unusual state wrestling tournament.
Right. This year they limited the fans, and I'm not sure the actual ticket allocation, but I think it was in that 4,000 to 5,000 range, and I think they were assigned seats. And of course, you know, the wrestling crowd, how they listen to that, they're going to sit in their assigned seat, right? They're not going to get close. But anyway, with that, to a certain extent, they were spread out, which I thought was pretty good for the simple reason you didn't have an echo in there, even though there was a limited crowd. Down on the floor, they didn't credential any of the school photographers, which with us, I don't know if I should say it, but it was okay with us. It just opened things up a lot more. So it was, and what they did with table workers, they limited that. You just had one running a computer, one running the clock. So they limited that part of it. I think they used smaller circles on the mats. So they had a little more room on the floor, but it was absolutely great this year. A lot better than I really ever expected.
And Wyatt, Lisbon had a whale of a tournament in Class 1A, but once again, Don Bosco stood in the way and won that championship. I got to wonder how many years, other years, Lisbon would have been the champion had it not been for Don Bosco. They really wrestled well.
Yeah, they really did. You know, with three champions, Lisbon had three champions and a runner-up. And, you know, even Pays with that runner-up finish, a returning state champ, and getting beat by a three-time state champion who has a chance to make it four next year. So they really had a pretty dang good tournament. You know, with three champs, a runner-up, and a couple of thirds, and then a sixth and eighth place finish. They had and how can you knock Don Bosco, you know, with four in the finals and two champs? Don Bosco is kind of like the West Delaware, where you have 10 and 11 place winners. It's just awful hard to beat a team like that.
You have to almost have a perfect tournament. I mean, just no one loses, no one gets upset, a lot of bonus points, things like that. And, you know, after the first day, Lisbon had an upset, and Bosco wrestled well. Yeah, you got to give the Dons a lot of credit. And, you know, maybe apropos for a retiring coach.
Exactly. I think they had T-shirts made for Coach Hogan as well. A little bit for him, wore at the well, and I think they. Well, I think to a certain extent, Lisbon basically wrestled as well as anything could, except for that one, maybe a little bit of an upset, but. Both teams wrestled very well, and they're both fun to watch. And so you just can't knock it. Just like West Delaware, they wrestled about as well as you could. And if anybody's going to beat either a Don Bosco or West Delaware, you can't falter or come up short on any at any weight.
What's in store for Don Bosco and West Delaware next year? Are they young? Are they old? Or what are they?
I think Don Bosco, I think they, to a certain extent, they just kind of reload. But they do have, I wouldn't say an old team, but a lot of their upper place winners. You got Ronavardi, Frost, and the Tennels, I think, are all seniors this year. So they're losing a lot of points. But at the same time, Don Bosco is just one of those schools that just continually produces wrestlers. You know, I guess I look at Cale Frost, the finalist at 160, who's a multi-sport athlete and runner-up finish. And I think he got beat in all of a sudden tiebreaker with Endrickon out of Hudson. And wrestling is his worst sport, you know, and here he is a state runner-up. I think baseball's his favorite, and followed by football and then wrestling. But that's the way Don Bosco and maybe some of these smaller schools are, as well as West Delaware. They're multi-sport athletes, and West Delaware, they're going to lose some, but they're going to be pretty darn strong next year. I think the heavyweight is gone. Boss is a graduate, but I think the Peyton brothers are back, so they're gonna be another solid team.
Just before the Lisbon people get real excited, the Ten Olds are back next year. They're only juniors.
Oh, they are. You know, it seems like they've been around forever. You know, and I did get a kick out of the fact that the Ten Olds after the heavier one won, they were probably the first two that congratulated each other. With twins like that, they are very, very close. So it was kind of cool to see those two. Boy, if them two are coming back, they're going to be pretty solid again.
Yeah, Lisbon and Don Bosco are both going to be very, very good next year. Speaking of very good, Cascade, or I should say Aiden Noonan, finished up in 21st place.
Yeah. And he's, I believe he's going to Wyoming next year, but, and a great individual. He's, just a solid, very basic, solid wrestler to watch. I mean, what more can you say? A 3-time state champ, basically holds all the records at Cascade, over his brother. So, just a nice, solid performance out of Aiden.
319-366-1600. That is the text line out there. You mentioned West Delaware. They had a very, very good tournament as far as 2A is concerned. Independence had a very good tournament as well. The Mustangs finishing up in third just behind Osage. Good job by both West Delaware and Independence, the two rivals.
Right. You know, like I said, West Delaware had 11 place winners. Independence had a couple of state champs themselves, and if I'm not mistaken, was it, I believe somewhere around that 2005 or 6 was the last time Independence had two state champs the same year. So, you know, they had a nice, solid performance, four place winners, you know, and Isaiah Weber, he had a 2-0 win over Nathaniel Genabana out of Centerville, who was a 4-time runner-up. You know, this year they had three individuals that were 3-time runner-ups, and Genabana was one of them, along with Briar Rice out of Logan Magnolia, and he lost also in the finals. So this year there was two individuals that are 4-time runner-up. And the other individual was Jack Ockel out of Sergeant Bluff Luton, who won this year. So so he had one state champ and three runner-up under his belt.
Kind of a tough year for the metro area, and we've talked about this, Wyatt, except for Linmar. Linmar had a really nice, in a loss, had a nice performance in the duels and then a top 10 finish in the traditional. So I guess you'd have to crown Lindmar the Metro champions.
Yeah, exactly. You know, five place winners. To me, I guess they, from the beginning of the year, I thought they finished very, very well this year. With Nakaborn, state champion, of course, he was a runner-up last year to Teeter from, or Cuter from City High, who was also a state champ. But they had actually had a nice performance this year with the with five place winners. And, you know, you can't hardly overlook Xavier either with three place winners this year.
Yeah, most they've ever had. Xavier placing very, very well. And speaking of Iowa City's two state champions out of Iowa City, you had Hunter Garvin of West High winning at 138. And then Cuter, as you mentioned, who is just a hammer. He's 2-for-2 now, winning at 195 this year. And, you know, people, you hate to look ahead, and I don't want to look ahead or anything like that, but, you know, folks are that follow the sport, and, you know, they're talking about all the things that could be accomplished for that young man from City High.
I'll tell you what, he is just so solid. And, you know, when we started doing rankings last fall, it was like, because he was at 160, I believe it was last year with Magdeburg and how much he had grown. And boy, for a sophomore, and if he could just fill out even more than what he is, he could just be a real hammer at that weight. You know, probably who was maybe the last state champion as a freshman at an upper weight may have been Trey Clark that was inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend at 171 out of Union. You just don't see that at those upper weights. And he is just a solid, solid. And Garvin out of Iowa City West, you know, beating Witt out of Cedar Falls. And if you were watching the Witt threw that Ferguson out of Waukee to his back, you know, in the semifinal round. And that may have been a little pop in their bubble over there at Waukee because they had a good shot at knocking off Waverly Shell Rock. You know, with a couple other things going their way, they could have knocked them off because they had a head-to-head matchup in the finals.
That they did. That they did. Before we leave 3A, the one everybody wanted to see was 132, and Ayala took care of business over Ryder Block.
You know, I had a text over the week or Saturday afternoon. You know, who was my pick, and you know, somebody like Ayala is not going to back away from competition. He's going to meet it head on, and was talking to somebody. You know, he moved up to wrestle Block. Over at the Waverly Duels, I believe it was, and he lost. And the comments I had were, I bet he's not going back down to 26. And you know, he was not going to go out on out of his high school career with not avenging that loss, or at least getting a rematch with that. And I'll tell you, he is so fun to watch, so basic, so solid. He and actually both of them are goers for 6 minutes. And you are right. It was probably the match of the tournament.
Ayala going to Iowa, of course, next year.
Yes. And, he's one of those individuals. I could honestly say he may be able to make an impact right off the bat.
Yeah. He may
just so solid.
Yeah. He may get in the lineup there with those first three.
Right.
We'll see how it plays out with that.
Well, you know, when I started covering wrestling for the Gazette in the 1970s, the list of four-time state champions numbered one, and that was Bob Steenledge from Britt. And then along came Jeff Kerber and Scott Morningstar, and now the list is up to 29. That was added to this year. I guess it's because more opportunities to wrestle as a freshman across the board. We got a chance to add, what, a handful more next year?
Yes, we do, which is really surprising, you know. And if And if you were doing a Gazette with just Bob Steenage, you've been around a long time. Sorry about that, Mark, but I had to throw that in there.
True.
But yeah, well, next year you had Robert.
I didn't cover Steenage. He was just on the list.
I apologize for that, Mark.
All right.
But yeah, next year you have Robert Avalov, Carter Fusak, Marcel Lopez, and Hayden Taylor all going for their fourth title, which is basically unheard of. You know, was it maybe the last time that a couple of them were was that maybe Brody Teske and Alex Thompson, where you had a pair of them. But yeah, this is basically unheard of.
Yep, and Hayden Taylor winning his third for Solon, which we are reminded about on the text line by 47-41. Yes,
right.
We can't forget about Hayden out there. But, yeah, next year could be a whale of a year individually in the state of Iowa for wrestling. So we look forward to that. But a lot more wrestling to come, collegiate, and hopefully a lot as far as the summer is concerned. And Wyatt, appreciate all the hard work you've put in this year and with the predicament and everybody there. And we always look forward to talking wrestling, and I know a lot of people do on Tuesdays as well. Look forward to hearing about it. But thanks for all the coverage again. We do appreciate it, and always good talking with you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, but I am going to point out, you know, I was going through the finals matches, and there is not one Scott in that finals.
We're just not the wrestlers.
Well, Plainfield guy won.
Yes, Garrett Rankin won out of NP.
Right, but that's true. And there was actually not a Mark in there either. But did you know that there were three Wyatts in the finals?
We knew you were going to point that out somehow.
And two of them won. So, and the other one was beaten by Hayden Taylor. So. I just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys this week.
Thank you, Wyatt. Appreciate that. Thanks. Thanks a million again, and we'll talk again soon.
You bet. I appreciate all you guys.
All right. Wyatt Schultz from The Predicament joining us each Tuesday throughout the high school wrestling season, and we're recapping things. And a great year, but boy, next year could be absolutely amazing with all the people going for four-time state championships next year. Should be a lot of fun. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about state bowling, let you know how those results came out and more when we come back.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Okay, set it down over there and then go to bay 5.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
We need to keep going to finish.
Like Amir's warehouse. To expand capacity, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Count on the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your car. Get maximum cooling system performance for 10 years or 300,000 miles with Peak Long Life Universal Pre-Mixed Antifreeze and Coolant. On sale now for just $5.99 after mail-in rebate. Plus, earn double O rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. 3:54. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM as we will keep you updated on the injuries with Tiger Woods. He is in surgery, non-life-threatening injuries. We're learning more and more about what possibly took place today, and more will come out as far as that is concerned. But again, if any news breaks, we will be sure to pass that along to you right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600 as we've got high school basketball that we mentioned coming up tonight. And we will be at Washington and Iowa City West as the regional finals in 5A go off. 4A as well. Best of luck to all the area teams in their quest to get to state. Same thing for the boys tonight for 1A and 2A district finals. Bowling, Mark. We had future leaguers out there, more than likely, and some college bowlers as well. But the state bowling championships going on at Cadillac Lanes in Waterloo, and almost got a state a big gold trophy for a 3A team from our neck of the woods earlier today in the girls' side.
Yeah, the girls' portion is done for the day. The boys going on right now. By the way, Cedar Rapids Kennedy in fifth place as we speak in the boys' side, but Cedar Rapids Jefferson finished second in the girls' state tournament. Losing by 52 pins to Ottumwa, Kingpin Ottumwa, by the way. But and for the third straight year, Jefferson has an individual state champion and sophomore Savannah Edmonds. She claimed the title today. Her teammate Anna Warkel, who finished fifth this year, won it last year. And previous to that, it was Kaylee Donner winning a title. So they can bowl on the west side. But these girls are not eligible to bowl in our league, Scott.
They are not. They are not.
They would fit in very well.
We would take them. No doubt about that. But, yeah, great job by all. Louisa Muscatine was the 1A girls champion, team champion, and Lamar is the 2A team champion. You mentioned the boys getting started with 3A right now as we speak. They're having their Baker game up at the Cadillac Lanes in Waterloo. Latest as far as bracketology is concerned, Iowa up to a number 2 line as far as Joe Lenardi is concerned. Drake at a 10 line right now, right across from Iowa, Mark. Makes for good coffee talk, though, doesn't it?
And that's about it. And Drake hamstrung, but by two starters going to miss the rest of the year due to foot injuries. So, despite that, Drake 23-2. How about that?
How about that? Indeed, is good bowling and of course good basketball going on in the state of Iowa right now. So we will keep you abreast of the Tiger Woods story as we take you through 6 o'clock here this evening. Iowa State basketball against Baylor coming up tonight at 6 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. And we've got girls regional final basketball coming your way at 6:45 tonight, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. 107 will be at Washington. They take on Dowling. 106.3 FM will be at West High. They take on Davenport North coming up tonight. And we'll keep you updated with all the scores as well throughout those games from some of the local teams in action tonight as well. Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, joins us coming up tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. We'll talk some basketball as well with you. Mark, have a good night.
You as well. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next here on KGYM. We'll talk to you with basketball tonight from Washington at 6:45.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ugh, nothing's worse than starting trouble. We can help you out. We can start with a free battery.